You're listening to audio from Holy Cross Church in Tucson, Arizona. To find more resources and learn more about our ministry, please visit holycrosstucson.com.
Of truth, useful for tucking in the robes to provide mobility. We talk about the idea of girding your loins or preparing to fight. Not really armor, sort of almost a girdle that goes around the middle, but a very central piece to hold all of the armor together. The truth that we are to gird ourselves with, the belt of truth, is the Word of God. And we talk about how it provides our foundation, which I think is a great starting point for this series and even for my ministry here, to talk about how important the Word of God is. The second piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness, which is also an essential piece in warding off the attacks of Satan. So we're going to read the whole section, which is verses 10 through 20 of chapter 6. We'll focus especially on the second half of verse 14. Something I would like us to do, if you're able, is to stand for the reading of the Word. I should have thought of it last week. Karen reminded me afterward. If you're not able, it's fine. But this is just something that just kind of reminds us of the importance of God's Word, and that we really do stand upon it. So this is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, it is our foundation. And may we study it now together humbly and seek your truth. Father, would you grant us the presence of your Holy Spirit and open our hearts, illumine our minds to understand and to apply this to our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And be seated. Do you know the story of Les Mis? There's a longer word. It's French. I can't speak French. It's like Les Miserables. I can't say it, but we'll just call it Les Mis. It's a classic French novel by Victor Hugo. You're probably familiar with the Broadway musical, a movie. And here's a poster from the movie of the musical. Came out several years ago. It's a wonderful, wonderful story and movie. Not for young children, but just great. So in the story, there's a man named Jean Valjean, who's been in prison for 19 years. He originally went to prison for 5 years for stealing bread in order to feed his sister's children. He added 14 years added to his sentence for trying to escape. So opening scene of the movie, Valjean and the other prisoners are working at forced labor. And high above them, they're watched by a ruthless guard named Javert. So Russell Crowe, Gladiator, is Javert looking down on Hugh Jackman, the Wolverine, playing Valjean, right? As they finish, Javert orders, he's now bring me prisoner 24601. Your time is up. Your parole's begun. You know what that means. And Valjean says, yes, it means I'm free. After 19 years of hard labor, his debt is paid. He is free, he thinks. Javert says, no. He says, you will carry this shame until you die. And he tells him everywhere he goes, he has to show his parole papers that identify him as a dangerous criminal. It will prevent him from getting a job, from finding lodging anywhere. It will make him an outcast. And as they talk, Javert keeps calling him 24601. This is his prisoner number. Finally, Valjean says, "My name is Jean Valjean." Javert says, "And I'm Javert. Do not forget my name. Do not forget me, 24601. See, Valjean thinks, "I am free because he's paid his debt." But Javert says, "No, you will always be a thief." That's why he insists on calling him 24601. It's a reminder of his past, a reminder of the sins he's committed. It's a reminder of the humiliations he experienced in prison. Throughout the story, Valjean, he assumes a new identity. He becomes a wealthy business owner and mayor of a town. And he does all he can to redeem his life. And Javert relentlessly pursues him to put him back in jail. Javert is much like Satan. He is the accuser. He's the adversary. He will not give up. He will seek to throw our past back into our faces. It leads us to the question, how can we stand against his attacks? And Paul's answer is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. So first, what is a breastplate? This was leather armor worn over the torso with metal attached to it. It may have looked something like this. The protection was really only in the front. A Roman soldier was expected to face their enemies and not turn their back. Last time I talked about the belt was important because it was central. But the breastplate is also very important because it covers the chest. The chest is where our vital organs are. You can take injuries to other parts of your body and survive. You know, just a flesh wound. Maybe some Monty Python fans out there. But wounds to the chest, right? The heart, the lungs are most likely fatal. Chest is our symbolic core. When we think about the place in our body where the soul resides, we think of the heart. You know, love is associated with the heart. Think of a Valentine's Day candies and chocolate shaped like hearts. When we love someone, we hold them in our heart. The heart also symbolizes the will and the emotions. To put your heart into something, it means to give great effort, right? To be big-hearted means to be compassionate and generous. Heart means the center, the core. Think of the phrase, "Now we come to the heart of the matter." If I said to you, "Who are you here?" we'd mean, "What is your true identity?" So this breastplate then is essential to protect our hearts and our lives. What does it mean that it's a breastplate of righteousness? Righteousness, it's a synonym with holiness, justice, and innocence. It means to be examined and be found acceptable. It's like when watching a courtroom drama and the jury foreman steps up and says, "We find the defendant not guilty." And the judge bangs that gavel down to say, "You have been declared not guilty." To be righteous is to be justified, to be unashamed. So this breastplate offers protection by giving us righteousness. Once again, as I mentioned last week, think back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, they took the forbidden fruit and they ate it. And what happened immediately after they sinned? They became ashamed. Prior to this, Genesis 2:25 said, "The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." It's this picture of innocence. They had nothing to hide. But now in Genesis 3:7, it says, "Then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves loincloths." They covered up because they knew they're no longer righteous, no longer acceptable. And so they began to hide. They did not have a breastplate of righteousness, though. They had loincloths of fig leaves. So they hid from God and from one another. You know, Satan often attacks us in two ways, temptation and accusation. Just as Satan tempted Adam and Eve to sin in the garden, he tempts us today, trying to push our hearts towards sin. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." His goal is to lead us into sin. But then after we fall to temptation, Satan turns to accusation. Revelation 12:10, he is called the accuser of the brothers. "Look at you. You're not worthy of God's love. I can't believe you fell into the same temptation once again. You should be ashamed. You need to hide who you are. You can never escape your guilt. You're not a person. You're 24601. Satan wants us to live in shame due to our past. He wants us defeated, hiding from God and hiding from one another. And that's why it's so important that we have a breastplate of righteousness, an assurance that protects our heart, so you know and also feel, I don't need to be ashamed. I've been examined and found worthy. So where do we get this breastplate of righteousness? Let me start with the wrong place. A breastplate of man-made righteousness. Like the fig leaves that Adam and Eve made, we often try to make our own covering. We all try to justify ourselves. There's things we cling to in this life to keep us from feeling ashamed, the things that protect us from being judged. How do you react when someone criticizes you? "Oh, thank you so much. I love when people point out my flaws." No, we immediately seek to protect ourselves because criticism can feel like someone stabbing a knife into your heart. Or some of the ways that we protect our hearts. Blame shifting. Right? Blame shifting means taking the responsibility off of ourselves and putting it on someone or something else. Right? If I did something wrong or failed, then I want to come up with a reason why it happened so I can explain why it was not my fault. If I get angry and yell, it's because of how my kids behave. It's because of how my boss treats me. It's because the weather is so hot. It's because I'm under a lot of stress. It's not my fault. It's always someone else's fault. If I'm late to a meeting, right, well, the traffic made me late. Or I had too much to do, so I couldn't leave on time. The parking lot was full, so I had to walk too far. It's not my fault. It's because of my circumstances. If I can believe that something isn't my fault, then I don't need to feel bad about it. And people can't criticize me. So I am safe from attack. My heart is protected by my man-made breastplate. Another thing we do is self-justifying. That's when you try to show, actually, even though it looks like I did something wrong, I really didn't. So I can justify myself to myself that I'm a good person. So when I behave selfishly, I think, well, anyone would have done the same thing in my circumstance. Or I work hard and I deserve to think about myself. When I treat someone with disrespect, I think, well, they weren't doing their job well enough and they deserved how I treated them. Well, they're wrong and I'm proving it to them. Isn't this what the prophets did? I'm just being biblical. We're minimizing. Oh, really? Whatever I did, it wasn't that bad. Everyone does it. Oftentimes, I tried to have a man-made breastplate of competence. I want to be hyper-competent, right? I want to know all the answers. I want to never make mistakes. The other day, Karen and I were at Home Depot, and we were looking for some item. If I had been by myself, I guarantee I never would have asked an employee where to find this item. I would have looked at the signs. I would have pulled out the app to look up the location. I would have walked through every single aisle in this store before I would have asked a person and reveal that I didn't know, that I couldn't find my way around a hardware store. I used to work at Home Depot. Karen just sees the first person with an orange apron, asks them where to find this item. They said it's aisle 24, and we go there. I felt like less than a man. I don't want to need help. So I have this struggle myself all the time, and I imagine that you do as well. To be righteous means to be examined and be found acceptable, to be unashamed. We don't want to be ashamed. We want to be we don't want to be examined and to come up short. Because if you can stand on your own self-righteousness, no one gets to question you. We want to point to our record of good things that we have done, because we want to make this breastplate to protect our own hearts. Going back to the story of Les Mis, so later in the story, Valjean has become a wealthy man, a factory owner. He's mayor of his town, and Javert meets him. At first, he doesn't recognize him. Many years have passed, and he's in this totally different circumstance. But when he realizes who he is, he confronts him, and he tries to arrest him for breaking parole. He says, "Men like you can never change 24601. See, once again, he is the accuser. Javert represents the law and man's attempt to keep the law. He's full of pride and judgment. He speaks to Valjean of how he was actually also born in poverty and actually in jail, but that he grew up out of it and he made the right decisions and he is a righteous person who's always chosen the right path. And so he looks down on others who are not as good as him. He has created his own breastplate, and his life is defined by obedience to the law. So it makes him a good person. He thinks he is above accusation because of his law keeping. It's just like the Pharisees, right? The religious leaders who opposed Jesus. They believe they made themselves acceptable to God by their good works. Romans 10:3, speaking of the Jews, Paul says, "Being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." But man-made righteousness is always insufficient. I don't want to spoil the whole story, but there's a point where Valjean has the opportunity to kill Javert. And it's a chance to wipe away his past, right? This man who's been pursuing him, he can kill him. No one else will know his original identity. No one else will pursue him. It's an escape from any possibility of future judgment. And instead, he chooses to show him mercy. And as Javert is confronted by the goodness he sees in Valjean, he sees his own hypocrisy. Javert's whole worldview comes crashing down. It exposes the weakness of his man-made armor, and he cannot live with it. What are your fig leaves? Do you have these kind of man-made things that protect your heart? When the accuser reminds you of your sin and calls you 24601, what will give you strength to stand? Now, here's the problem. We're all sinners. So we all know deep down that we don't stack up to God's standards. Leviticus 19:2 says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Matthew 5:48 says, "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." See, the problem is, Satan's accusations are true. You are a sinner. You are unworthy of God's love. God's standard is perfection. And every one of us has fallen short of that standard. So where can we get a breastplate of righteousness? Romans 4:5, I think we're a couple, yeah, there it is. It says, "To the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." So we're able to receive this righteousness through faith. Not by our works, not our self-made breastplate. It is Christ's righteousness. Romans 10:11 says, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." This is the good news of the gospel. We can only receive this righteousness when we have come to the end of ourselves and giving up on making our own breastplate. Coming to a place where we recognize our helplessness is actually where we see the difference between Javert and Valjean. See, Javert looked to his own record to justify himself, and when he realized that wasn't sufficient, he lost all hope. But not Valjean. There's an amazing scene early in the story. And I keep talking about this movie and this play. Like, if you haven't seen it, I really encourage you to. I think that this story is one of the clearest gospel explanations you'll ever see in a Hollywood production. So after he's been released from prison, Valjean is shunned. Yes, he has nowhere to go. People won't let him stay in their town because he's a criminal. They won't pay him a full wage for the work he does. But then he meets this kindly bishop, and he invites him to his home, and he feeds him, gives him a place to sleep. And Valjean, he is broken by his imprisonment and his harsh treatment. He's so angry at the world. And so despite this man's kindness to him, in the night he decides to steal the bishop's silverware and sneak out of the house. But he's captured and he's brought back by the police, by the gendarmes. And Valjean is guilty. Now he knows he'll go back to jail now for the rest of his life. And he lies to the police and he says, they say, "Where'd you get the silver?" He said, "Well, the bishop gave it to me as a gift." And the police ask the bishop, and the bishop says, "That's right." And he says, "But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind." And he takes these two silver candlesticks, the most valuable things in his home. He says, "You forgot I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind?" This man has robbed him. And yet he pardons his sin and provides him with wealth beyond. And he says this, "But remember this, my brother. Seeing this some higher plan, you must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have bought your soul for God." Excuse me. Oh, thank you. Valjean is crushed by this. And if I could play the whole scene for you, I would. He's standing there in this mausoleum. There's a cross next to him, and he's trying to understand, what can I do with this forgiveness that has been offered to me? I've never seen anything like this in the world, that someone would respond with this kind of grace to what I have done. Is this picture of Christ absorbing the cost of our sin and granting us his righteousness. Our crimes removed from our record and his riches bestowed upon us. To be redeemed means to be bought back. The bishop says, I am buying you back for God. And now your life belongs to him. And Valjean, in this moment, he becomes a new creation. He takes his prison papers with his prison number. He tears it apart and throws it in the air. It's a wonderful scene. If you haven't seen it, well, everyone come to my house sometime. We'll watch it together. But Valjean understands he has nothing left to trust in within himself. See, my friends, Satan will accuse you. Call you 24601. You criminal, you sinner, who do you think you are? And you have a choice. Are you going to try to protect yourself, your heart, with your own manufactured righteousness? Can you shield yourself from the accuser by your own good works? Or will you trust in the righteousness of another, of our Savior?
Thanks for listening to this audio from Holy Cross Church. Visit us at holycrosstucson.com to find more resources and connect with us.